Some years ago, Gail Sheehy wrote a book on leadership. I'm doing this from memory. It was a long time ago that I read it. But as I recall, her whole thesis was that the only way you can know who the leaders are is through testing. Seeing how a man does with difficulty and disappointment. How they come through the fire and the pain is the way you find out who the leaders are. How's that sounding? Pretty good, right? Listen, this morning, as we join Jesus in the upper room, the night he was betrayed, the night before he died, we are going to see the beginnings of an amazing crisis. Peter would have to go through this crisis before he could come out on the other side as the unofficial leader of the disciples after the departure of Jesus from the earth. You know, that Peter was an amazing guy. And it is true. He was the, if you will, the political leader. I had that in. Suzanne took it out, but I put it back in just now. He was the political leader. I mean, anytime you get a group of people, it's a body politic, is it not? And those 11 guys, down to 11 now, that is a body politic. He was the unofficial leader of it. There's no doubt about it. Now, men, what we shall see for the next 4 weeks in our study here of the Upper Room Discourse, starting today, is Jesus very masterfully handling questions from the disciples and making some very profound points with each of their questions for them and for us. Open your scriptures this morning to the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. Who do you think the first man in is with a question? First man in is Peter. Every group has a first man in, right? Usually it's the guy with the ego strength that can take the hits, take the rejection. And that's Peter. Okay, here he goes. He's the first one in on this questioning business, okay? Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" You know, one large law firm here in town sorts out their attorneys three ways. They call them finders. David, have you ever heard this category before? Finders, minders, and grinders. Who are the finders? They're the ones that go out and find the new clients, right? They usually make partner first, because that's the hard thing to do, because that's where the rejection is, right? Now, who would you think later on, after all of this, the Holy Spirit would send down to Caesarea to talk to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, a Gentile, about the gospel? Who's going to be the guy of the 11 that the Holy Spirit sends down there? Right? You all know the story. So that's the kind of guy Peter is. He's the first man in. He is so sure of himself. Look at here now, 36b. Jesus replies to him. This has been a typical pattern with Peter and Jesus. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Very calmly, okay? Peter is a man of energy. He's a man of action. This is what makes him an extraordinary leader. He is devoted to the Lord, right? He's devoted to the Lord. But he is self-reliant and he is impatient. Verse 37 here this morning. Here it goes. Here's the crisis. Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." You know, men, Mark's gospel tells us he even went a step further. He says, "Even if all fall away, I will not. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And then Mark tells us that all the others did the same. They're all around there going, right. It just goes to show you the power of leadership, of modeling, how powerful that is. I remember a long time ago when I had hair, and that's a long time ago. In New York City, I think we were out at the Hess Oil Company. And we made our presentation. We were the first men in with this remote computing with terminals and all that. I mean, it never worked or anything, but we were out selling it on straight commission. Talk about stress and pressure. So we're in this presentation, and we make the presentation. Everybody's going, it never work, never work. And the president, I remember he had a German accent. I wish I could mimic him a little bit better. I think we should investigate this, what these gentlemen are telling us. And then all of a sudden, all these went, So then Jesus answered him. Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. How do you think Jesus said that? Do you think he said it with an edge? Must have been a very incredible thing to get a word from Jesus Christ like that. Straight truth with no edge on it. Peter would go even so far, men, as to say he didn't even know the Lord. Right? I don't even know this man. Obviously, the question this morning for us here at on the border, how could such a man as this ever become the leader of the group? How could he turn the corner? The one to take Jesus' followers through the fire. And there was plenty of fire when we studied James, right? They were getting it from the Romans. They were getting it from their own Jewish aristocracy. How could he be the one to do this? Men, to show you how far Peter turned the corner, here are some scripture that he wrote later on in his life from his first letter. And I'm not going to drag you over there, but let me just read you a couple of his thoughts from later in life. He said, love one another deeply from the heart. Boy, was he loved deeply from the heart, huh? He said, talking about Jesus, he committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. Jesus never lied to him, always told him the truth. And then he said, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. He watched the whole thing. He watched Jesus rely on his Father. Listen to this. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Men, isn't that what every one of us has to do with our insecurities? Isn't that why we blow it with each other? Isn't that why we betray each other and our families and our... I was with a guy yesterday and I said, you know, you got to start thinking more about your family than you do your career. Why is this being passed over for this... Why has it crushed you so much? Why can't you deal with this crisis? Because it means too much to you. You got to start, and he took it. I said, you got to start leaning on the Lord more for your strokes. You know, corporate America will eat you alive if you let it. And Peter saw this, see? He said, be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Where did he learn all this, man? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Men, he was blessed. He was blessed by Jesus Christ. And he never forgot it. You know the story, right? The restoration. When we went over to Israel, David and I, there's a little spot along the western side of the lake where they've commemorated the restoration. Let me remind you that after Jesus' resurrection, from the dead. He met Peter one day alongside the lake. Peter's out fishing. He probably figured he'd lost the whole thing. He was bummed out. You know, he had rejected the Lord. He had denied the Lord. He had betrayed the Lord. And all of a sudden, he sees on the shore, he sees Jesus cooking him breakfast, baked fish and bread. Jumps out of the boat, runs up to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter got very whiny, very, you know how we do it? We whine. "Well, you know I love you, Lord." Well, Jesus put it right on the line. He said, "If you love me, you feed my sheep." In other words, he restored him back to the position that he had intended for him to be all along. So the restoration from self-reliance, failure, and I am sure depression was the defining moment in this man's life. He never looked back, men, and became the great leader that God had gifted him to be. He would eventually die as a martyr for this man, the man who restored his soul. I was thinking about the 23rd Psalm this week. "He restores my soul." Isn't that what Jesus does for each one of us? Doesn't he restore our souls? Men, you never know who the leaders are until they go through the fire. And let me tell you something. This ministry has to go through the fire. It has to go through the crisis. A few weeks ago, one of the leaders here came to me. And he confronted me about a comment I made about taking pills instead of being obedient to the Lord. I don't know if any of you remember that. But I made a comment. Some of us would rather take pills than to do what we're supposed to do, which is to be obedient to the Lord. Obviously, it's going to make somebody mad. Well, he got mad. He suffers from a bipolar condition. He takes his medicine every morning. And he came up to me and he got in my face. He did it on a Sunday morning, as a matter of fact. And I, of course, got defensive, right? Well, if you listen to the context of what I said, you know, I wasn't really condemning a guy that takes medicine. I'm saying don't take it instead of obedience to the Lord. He held his ground. He got right in my face. He says, "Yeah, but your context is too tight. It's too offensive." Man, he made his point. Do you know that this fellowship is more rigorous because of what he did? Just last Friday, on my way down Roswell Road to join you all, thinking about the message, I did an audible in the car. I mentally changed an illustration that could have been perceived as irreverent. Right there, it was all because of that man's ministry in my life. Thank God for him. And men, our whole fellowship is stronger because of the courage of another leader who told me that I had hurt him deeply. He accepted my apology. We had tears. We had forgiveness. And we're going to move on. We're restored. And men, to God be the glory. Listen to Peter now as we close this morning. Bobby, you notice the time? Okay.
1 minute over.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Bill. For posterity, that's on the tape. 1 minute over. Listen to Peter. Christ himself, he says, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Boy, I like that. Do you? Christ himself will restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. That's what we want to be, right? Let's make this ministry a light in this sin-sick, word-starved world that we live in. That's my dream. Bobby, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed working with you down there in Cape Town, and it's kind of nice to meet you after a couple of years. As he restored Peter after Peter denied him, He will restore us regardless of what we do. All we have to do is come to Him and confess our sins. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let's have prayer together this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for your restoration work with Peter. Thank you that he emerged as the leader that you wanted him to be. And Lord, I thank you for your restoration work with each of us here this morning. Make us the men and the leaders you want us to be. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.